Dessa is an internationally known recording artist. She travels the world with Doomtree Collective, performing her own style of hip-hop poetry. Not just a performer, she wears many different hats. Business executive, writer, philosopher, and her years on the road have turned her into a bit of a food activist. Dessa joined Lynn on stage at the Fitzgerald Theater a few months back to talk about the philosophical and logistical issues of taking a stance on how you eat.
You know, I think people know your music, but I think there's a side to you perhaps they don't know, that you have a lot of work that you've done with food politics. How did that begin?
You know, to be honest, although my mom had had this lifelong fascination, I was kind of late to the game. So I was well into my to my adult years. I was touring with my rap crew, Doomtree. And I left the tour van for a moment, which is really hard to do. You're kind of like working as a seven-legged sack race around the country. But yeah. I ran away from the van, and I found a garage sale. And on offer was Michael Pollan's The Omnivore's Dilemma. And I'd meant to read that for like 10 years. So I picked it up, started reading it in the van, and it had a really big impact on me, yeah.
What happened?
So I think I saw my mom get excited about ag and the way that we produce our food through her concern in environmentalism. And that wasn't the driver for me. For me, it was in paging through this initial text and learning about how the food system routes like money and power in our country. And particularly as a rapper, I'm aware and maybe hyper aware of privilege and class politics, because I realized that, for obvious reasons. For those of you on the radio, I am like a middle class, 5'10", white looking girl.
But still,
yeah. I'm very aware of that. My mom's Puerto Rican, but I'm fair enough to be mistaken for Caucasian through and through. So I'm aware of the different way that I maneuver through the world than the rest of the dudes in my crew might, or the rest of the rappers with whom
I
work.
And you see food as the mover and the shaker.
I do.
This is the place where
part.
Things separate.
How do broke people get to eat here? How do rich people get to eat here? Mm-hmm. Who can afford food that has been produced by people who are paid well? When I go to the grocery store, like, where does that dollar that I spend on food go? And a lot of it goes to like big pharma, as they're producing the kind of prophylactic antibiotics that you're going to use like in a feedlot to keep animals healthy, even as they're eating corn, which they're not particularly well adapted to do. And I was supporting a lot of systems that didn't really align with my values very well, if at all.
But okay, practical question: you're on tour constantly,
right?
When you're doing a show and you end up at, what, 10:30 at night, it's not a matter that you can go out to a great place and pick up from a deli that has, you know, organic,
right.
It was raised right next door, that kind of thing. You're living with food that you can just grab. So
totally. This
has got to really be tough.
It is. And so I'm always like careful not to be too like didactic about it, because I'm not like this perfect model, right? We don't like travel with a chicken coop, you know, trailer or anything. And also just my palate is lousy. Like I love like Snickers and whiskey, you know, that's what I would live on.
May I ask you, what is wrong with Snickers and whiskey? I'm a bourbon girl. What about you?
Yes, I love bourbon.
You love bourbon. Okay,
makers.
Good.
You're right. Therein is like, if you have this like burgeoning sense of conscientious consumerism in the food system, the least likely place to be able to execute on those ideals
is as a
indie rapper.
But so. Didn't you guys take on, you and the Doomtree Collective, take on a challenge that you were trying to eat organic and local when you were on tour?
We did. So when I was traveling with my solo band, of which Abby's a member, we were lucky enough to get a grant to be able to try to not only eat locally for one meal a day and see where that was possible and where it wasn't.
Right.
Mobile, no. Seattle, yes. But also to be able to visit growers and natural markets. And we set up free concerts along the way to be able to talk to small organic producers who... One of them was so cool. She's all tatted up, and she was like 5 foot nothing, and she just had like a machete on her hip, and would just like harvest greens for you, and then like put them in your mouth while she talked to you. So cool. It was awesome. But it made it even harder, to be honest. Like I thought I'd kind of done my due diligence eating organic and eating very little meat, And this made me reconsider a lot of that. What is food miles? Gosh, how would I even know how the people who harvested my food were treated? Yeah. It's tough.
There's something, quote, and you said this at one point, my takeaway is not to let the size and the scope of the debate be so intimidating that I'm afraid to engage, which I think is true of a lot of us. We see the scope and we realize there's a lot we don't know. So there's this huge hesitation to say, well, I'm gonna kind of go out there and talk about what I think. And also not to let the perfect stand as the enemy of a good. What do you mean by that?
So sometimes I think when you talk about food, you end up in this really unfortunate water slide that goes something like this. Well, I'm gonna go to the co-op because they have a local sale today. And then he goes, oh, well, I know a more local grower at the farmer's market that supports orphans. And then the next person goes, are those real leather shoes? I hope not. And all of a sudden, you're having this kind of one-upsmanship of, like, moral sensitivity, which is so stupid and does nothing but, I don't know. Instead of trying to make sure that you are absolutely addressing every moral issue and are irreproachable in any way, to say, you know what, I can make four big changes. And then if those stick, I'll try five, you know? And to be sensitive and empathetic with the people who are working on different changes, and yeah.
So where is this? So where do you think this is all going to take you?
I'm going to say, for one moment, forget me, but I know that a lot of the conversation here is about how privileged the conversation is to have, like yeah. that we're so lucky that we can spend the extra $2 at the co-op. I know it's not the end, I know it's not the solve, but I was excited when Walmart went all organic. Is that going to fix everything? No. But I think learning how to do things on scale or in lots of little tiny scalable ways is yeah. going to be, I hope, the future. As for me, I'm hoping for a Pulitzer in the next 20. I'd love to. That's my goal.
I'd vote for that. I would vote for that. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work, Lynn.
Thank you, Dessa. Thank you.
Dessa's latest CD is Parts of Speech. We have a bunch of videos for you to check out. You can take a look at the rest of Lynn and Dessa's conversation on the stage at the Fitzgerald Theater, as well as Dessa's killer performance from that night. And you will also find a video Dessa shot on the road called Dessa's Farm Tour. Find it all, splendidtable.org. One more thing. All this month, we're heading up a campaign to get more people to listen to podcasts. It's a pretty simple concept. You tell a friend about a podcast you are sure that they will love. It could be The Splendid Table, of course. And if they don't know how to listen to a podcast, show them how to do it. Tell us what you recommend with the hashtag tripod. That's T-R-Y pod. Thanks for spreading the word. I'm Sally Swift. You're listening to The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media.